Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is supported by TechServe. TechServe's having an e-waste recycling event created to help keep hazardous materials out of landfills by recycling electronics. Saturday, July 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on 23rd Street near 6th Avenue. Info at techserve.com/recycling. Welcome to Why We Cook on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. And it's a hot summer night here in New York. It's kind of hot for late June. It's pretty weird what's going on here. So yesterday I was teaching in my kitchen at ICE, where I teach, Manhattan Institute of Culinary Education. And as often happens in that building, the air conditioning went out. Because we're in an office building, and so sometimes the air conditioning goes out, and it happens every year pretty much. But since summer seems to have come on with a blast really early this year, it's been kind of bad. So we're in there and we sweat and swelter it out while the maintenance crew goes up on the roof and they try to get the unit operating. Happens every year. So what I do is I tell my students that they should just get used to it, because that's what life will actually be like for them when they get out into real kitchens and they get out of school, where it's really like fantasy land kitchens. But, you know, they just gripe that they just spent $30,000 for culinary school and there should at least be air conditioning in their kitchen. And I can't say I blame them. Although then I tell them about the years that I worked in New York City kitchens and worked through the summer, where it was so hot that there were times when I would start to actually lose consciousness standing on the line. I would start to black out while I was cooking. And that's a big part of why I actually started teaching eventually, because I had quite enough. But, you know, we used to find ways to stay cool back then when I worked on the line. We would keep like a bucket of ice water nearby and put a bunch of side towels in it and then slap them around our necks, and that worked really well. Or you just drape it right over your head and that would cool you down. Also, like, using the minimum number of burners or ovens that you actually need is good, because if you've ever been in a restaurant kitchen, you may have noticed that we like to just turn on all the burners on the stove and leave them on all the time, even if we're not using them. And that's crazy because it generates so much extra heat, so we would shut them all off. And of course, drinking a lot of water, ice water. Although after you sweat that much, you kind of need something to replenish your electrolytes. But we, you know, in restaurant kitchens and even now teaching, we just guzzle ice water like by the quart. Because, you know, cold drinks plus hot kitchen equals no passed out unconscious line cooks, which is good. So, you know, I drink a lot of water every day, a lot of water. But sometimes, like, it's just not enough. Sometimes you need some flavor or a little caffeine or a little sugar. But I don't drink soda, like, at all. Can't stand it. Don't want it. And I can't really drink juice either. It's too sweet. I'm not a juice person. And frankly, to me, drinking juice is just a big waste of calories that I could spend on food instead. So no juice for me. And unless I'm running like a 4 mile or longer race, I don't really feel like I need sports hydration drinks. I don't understand why people just drink those as a beverage. I suppose if you're sweating a lot, it's a good idea. But I really think the best summer beverages, the best way to cool yourself down, other than water, of course, are just the chilly versions of your morning choice. Iced tea and iced coffee. Take your morning caffeinated beverage of choice and add ice to it, and that is what gets you through the day. So I usually pick iced tea when I want something really refreshing that won't knock out my palate, and iced coffee for those really thick, hot New York summer afternoons where I feel like I'm gonna collapse or die or both. And that's what I've always said about the only way to get through summer in New York City is to have a big, huge, dripping iced coffee in your hand. It's really, it's more than a beverage. It's a survival tool. It's the only way to live. But iced tea also really has its place, too, for me. I actually find it much more thirst-quenching than iced coffee. iced coffee to me is almost more like food, whereas iced tea is much more like a beverage. But, you know, like, they've really got it right down in the South where they just guzzle iced tea all day. But I find that it's all really, really sweet. They drink sweet tea. And that's too much sugar. That's just not going to quench your thirst, because actually taking in all that sugar is going to make you more dehydrated. So I can't do it. I just like plain old, nice, strong, unsweetened iced tea, maybe with a little lemon in it. But, you know, iced coffee, iced tea, both are great. And both, I think, are really like classic icons of American summer beverages. But like everything else in America, there are really, really good versions and really, really bad versions out there. So today on Why We Cook, it's the iced coffee and iced tea show. It's all about how to make the best of both of those to get you through the slog days of summer, which seem to have come upon us a little early this year. So part of the reason why I was thinking about doing this show tonight, other than the fact that it's been so freaking hot, is that a couple of weeks ago, I shot some videos for a website called about.com. You may have used it before to look up stuff, but about.com is this informational website, and you can just type in, how do I do this? And it'll come up with instructions on it. And they're now putting a lot of video on it. So I did a bunch of videos for them, and I'm actually going to shoot a bunch more. But most of what I did was on Thai food. And one of the recipes they wanted me to do was for Thai iced tea. And the video came out really well, actually. So you should check it out. Go to about.com and just put in my name, and you'll find it. So Thai iced tea is really like a brilliant beverage. And it's brilliant because it's the perfect drink to have with Thai food, except maybe for beer. But even beer sometimes can't really cut the super spiciness of some Thai food, because beer's pretty good at cutting heat in food, but it's not great because the hot chili peppers irritate your tongue. And if you drink something carbonated, the carbonated bubbles further irritate your tongue. So it doesn't really quell the heat well enough. But Thai iced tea really does, because it has a little bit of dairy in it and a little bit of sugar. And both of those neutralize the oils in those chili peppers. And so it kind of tames that searing Thai heat. So Thai iced tea is just this amazing combination of tea, but also just a little sweet, a little creamy, a little kind of herbaceous. It's great. And you make it by using a loose leaf black tea, like a nice long leaf black tea, like Assam. And then you also want to add jasmine tea to it, made from dried jasmine flowers. You steep the tea just like you're making regular tea. And then you grate into it some galangal or galangal. You can say it either way. And what this is, it's a rhizome. It's a root. It's a relative of ginger, galangal. It's like ginger, but it has more of like a floral, piney smell to it than ginger. And so you add in some of that. And some lime juice and a little bit of sugar, and you mix all that up, and then you strain it and you pour it over ice. But in the bottom of your glass, you put a blob of sweetened condensed milk, or you can just drink it black too. But the sweetened condensed milk is really nice, because then you mix it all up and the sweetened condensed milk dissolves into the tea and makes it, you know, a little bit creamy, a little bit sweet, and it's perfect with hot, spicy Thai food. Now, if you can't find jasmine tea, you can find jasmine essence, which I found in an Asian food store. I didn't even know it existed. I just kind of stumbled upon it. So you can put in the tiniest drop of this jasmine essence too, which is really nice. And jasmine has this really nice floral smell to it. And you put a drop of that in the tea and it comes out great. And I did it for this video. And then I was surprised at how good it came out for the video. So that's what kind of got me on this let's talk about iced tea, iced coffee kind of kick today. It seems appropriate for the season. So we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, more about iced coffee and iced tea on Why We Cook. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Today is the shadow of tomorrow. Today is the present future of yesterday. Yesterday is the shadow of today. The darkness of the past is yesterday. And the light of the past is yesterday. The days of yesterday are all numbered and sum. And the word once. Because once upon a time there was a yesterday. Yesterday belongs to the dead. Because the dead belongs to the past. The past is yesterday. Today is the preview of tomorrow. But for me, only from a better and happier point of view. My point of view is the thought of a better a try. Reality, yesterday is eternity. The eternity of yesterday is dead. Yesterday is as one. The eternity of one is the eternity of the past. The past is once upon a time. Once upon a time is past. The past is yesterday. Today. The past is yesterday. Today. Today. Why we're searching for tomorrow.
The music is different here. The vibrations are different. Not like Planet Ray.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by TechServe. TechServe is having an e-waste recycling event Saturday, July 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on 23rd Street near 6th Avenue. More info at techserve.com/recycling. Welcome back to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. If you are a fan of Why We Cook, you can join us on Facebook. Just search for Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. And you can become a fan. Leave me comments, questions, criticism. I can take it all. Just let me know. I'd love to know that you're listening. And you know that you can always listen to any Heritage Radio Network show on iTunes. You can podcast any of them now. And you can also listen to any show on heritageradionetwork.com. Archived. And now we have video on the website too. So there's more of us to love than ever. So tonight on Why We Cook, we're talking about refreshing summer beverages, particularly iced tea and iced coffee. And in the last segment, I was talking about Thai iced tea and how to make Thai iced tea, which is a wonderful, perfumey, floral, delicious drink. But let's talk about the American classics. Let's talk about iced tea, American style. So there's kind of this mythology that iced tea was invented at the 1908 World's Fair in St. Louis, and that was the first time it was ever drunk in public, but that's just a myth. Maybe you've heard this myth, but I'm here to tell you it's just a myth. Now, people were actually brewing cold green tea punches in the U.S. in the mid to late 1800s. There are recipes that date back to that time, and people were cooling off their tea also much for many years before the 1908 World's Fair. But in St. Louis at the 1908 World's Fair, there was a tea merchant. He was like the ambassador of tea for, you know, the government or, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, he had a stand, and he was supposed to be selling hot tea, and it was very, very hot out, and he realized that nobody was going to drink his hot tea. So he invented some sort of contraption where he turned his tea vat, like his samovar basically, upside down and ran the tea through chilled lead pipes. And the chilled lead pipes cooled it off, and then he sold it cold as iced tea. And that was the first time that it was commercially made available. And so there was a lot of publicity surrounding the cold tea and the invention of his machine. And it was around the time that home refrigeration was starting to become available to the public. And so that's what made iced tea all the rage in the early 20th century in the U.S. was those two events happening concurrently. And so iced tea became very popular, and people were buying like special iced tea glasses and special iced tea spoons to go with their silver pattern. And iced tea became sort of a very popular social drink. But here's my question. Wasn't that tea leaching lead out of those pipes? And if so, didn't it lead to massive declines in intellect? Maybe that's where it all started to fall apart for America. And we started cooling our tea off through lead pipes. That's what led to the fall of Rome, right? Lead poisoning. Anyway, to brew good iced tea, you need good tea. Now, I say that, but then I will say to you this. I am a big tea drinker, and in the morning, I drink PG Tips tea bags. If you don't know PG Tips, they're basically like the English mass market supermarket tea. And if you are a tea snob or a tea aficionado, you will immediately start commenting on my website and on my blog about how I should use whole leaf, first flush Darjeeling or Tipi Assam or some high-end tea. And I know that. But you know what? Those teas are really expensive. And in the morning, what I want is a big, strong cup of tea with a little milk in it. And PG Tips has the power to drive that wedge through my brain that I need in the wee hours of the morning. And I love it. So there. You buy yourself good tea, or maybe give it to me as a present. But I'm using my PG Tips. But you at least want to use good tea bags like that, something really strong. You don't want to use an American brand of tea bag like Lipton or Red Rose because they're weak. It's wuss tea. It can't stand up to a PG Tips bag. So you want to brew really good, strong, flavorful tea, either loose leaf tea or bags. It's okay. But what you want to do is brew it in a concentrated strength. So you basically want to brew double strength tea. So use either double the amount of tea or half the amount of water that you'd normally do. Make yourself a tea concentrate. Then let it cool off. Then when you add ice to it, the ice will dilute it. It'll chill it down and you'll have perfect strength tea. And it'll never get too weak. It's perfect. And you could also do this without even having to boil water. You could make it totally green by making sun tea. And I've been doing this a lot this summer because we've had so much sun. It's been so hot. So when you make sun tea, you just put the tea bags in a pitcher and add water and cover it to keep the bugs out and put it outside. And the sun just beats down. It has to be a glass pitcher, by the way, so the sun can get through it. Can't be plastic. Can't be opaque plastic. The sun beats down on it and it leaches out all the tea into the water. The tea infuses in the water without boiling water. And what happens is you actually get a really nice kind of mellow, rounded, smooth tea flavor without a lot of the tannins. Because if you heat the tea up too much, if you actually make tea with water that's too hot, you begin to create a really kind of tannic, harsh brew. But if you let the tea just naturally steep out into the water, you don't get those. And so you get this really nice kind of softer effect to your tea. And I love it. It's the official brew of Chef Smarty Pants. And that's me. I'm Chef Smarty Pants. So I've been doing that a lot this summer. And what I've also been doing is adding a lot of herbs to it because my garden has been going insane. And I have mint and thyme flowers just all over the place. So I've been plucking little thyme blossom sprigs and floating them in my tea. And it makes it all very genteel and kind of English garden party. Like, and it makes me want to put on, you know, floppy hats and dresses and sandals. But instead, I wear my 10-year-old beat-up shorts and, you know, stained t-shirt, and I sit out on my tiny patio and I drink my tea, and all is good. Another really good one for the summer is to make iced matcha. You know, matcha, it's that powdered green tea from Japan. It's not tea leaves. It's ground up, really finely powdered tea leaves. And they just dissolve in water. So what's cool about matcha is you can just dissolve it in a little bit of warm tap water and then just add ice cubes and water and stir it until it's cold. So you don't even have to boil the pot yet again, which I love. I don't want to boil a kettle in the summer. But make sure you're buying the powdered version. You don't want whole leaves. If you have whole leaves, you actually have to heat up some water. But the powdered version is great. And I got this big bag of powdered green tea last year at the Fancy Food Show in New York. I didn't get to go this year. It ended today. But last year I was at the Fancy Food Show and I'm walking around the Japanese pavilion. And a man from a tea company was, you know, giving me his whole sales pitch about his green tea. And I told him, I said, look, I know matcha. You don't have to tell me about it. I said, dude, I put matcha green tea in my oatmeal in the morning. And he started rolling on the floor laughing. He thought this was hysterical. But then he said that he was going to try that because he hated oatmeal, because Japanese people don't really eat oatmeal. But his wife was trying to get him to eat it. And he said he was going to try to put matcha in it too and see if he liked it better. And he gave me a huge bag of matcha tea for free. And that stuff is pricey. So I was psyched. We have to take another quick break. When we come back, iced coffee time. We'll be right back.
nasty. That is probably somewhat of a travesty having me. Then he told the people, you can call me your majesty. Keep your battery charged. You know it won't stick, yo. And it's not his fault you kick slow. Should've let your trick hold, chick hold.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by TechServe. TechServe is holding an e-waste recycling event July 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on 23rd Street near 6th Avenue. For more info, go to techserve.com/recycling. Welcome back to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. I'm Erica Wides, your host, and we are talking about chilling down your favorite summer beverages: iced coffee, iced tea, iced matcha green tea, iced Thai, iced tea, iced coffee, all that. But if those are not cold enough, if merely icing down a liquid isn't enough for you, why don't you freeze it? Why don't you just freeze the liquid? If you have an ice cream maker or just a freezer, you could turn your iced tea or your iced coffee into a sorbet or a granita or just a tea slushy. For a true sorbet, you actually have to have an ice cream machine. You need a machine because the machine has to churn to break those ice crystals up enough that you have smooth texture. That's how you get ice cream or sorbet, which has smooth texture because the constant motion keeps the ice crystals tiny. But you could just freeze your sweetened tea or coffee in a shallow dish like a Pyrex baking dish. And then every once in a while, take a fork and scrape it up and break up the ice crystals. And that's how you make granita, which has a really nice sounding name and is kind of impressive to serve to people, even though it's really easy to do. Or you can just freeze your tea in ice cube trays and then put those ice cubes in the food processor and pulse that, and you'll get like a slush. Basically, you can make sorbet that way. So you could make iced tea sorbet, iced coffee, slush, any of those. But you really have to have sugar in them. You really have to sweeten the mixture because the sugar is going to give the thing some body and some viscosity. Otherwise, it's not going to be good. It's going to be really watery and it'll have no mouthfeel and not great. It's just watery slush. So you have to sweeten it up. So it's a great thing to do for dessert. And, you know, I was saying earlier in the show that for me, iced tea is much more of a refresher, whereas iced coffee is almost more like food. I find coffee to be more like a food experience, less of a beverage experience. And when I drink it, coffee tends to kind of brown out my palate, whereas tea, because it's more astringent, is a more of a palate cleanser. But this also is because I like a little sugar in my coffee, but not in tea. And also because coffee just has a heavier kind of body to it. It's oilier. And so it seems more like food to me. But iced coffee, on the other hand, if you ice it, to me, it's like the perfect mid-afternoon summer treat. Like, you can keep your ice cream, your frozen yogurt, your popsicles, all that. Give me a nice cold iced coffee with a little bit of sugar in it. And to me, it's like having dessert. Because I hate humidity. I hate humidity so much. I can't believe I have stayed in New York my entire life, that I haven't left yet and moved to like Albuquerque or Death Valley, because I would like to live someplace that has zero humidity. I know probably that's physically impossible and I would probably just dehydrate and evaporate into dust, but I'd be willing to do that if it meant not having a sweaty face all summer. So because I hate humidity so much, iced coffee is like my drug of choice when it's 92 degrees in a summer afternoon, like today. But do I want to boil water, measure out coffee, mess with a drip pot or a French press or any of that crap? Absolutely not. So, speaking of sun tea, a couple of years ago, the New York Times published this recipe for cold brewed iced coffee, and it totally rocked my world. It changed my whole approach to iced coffee making. It works just like sun tea, but it's the same idea. It allows the coffee to kind of slowly seep out into the water without any of the harshness that can come from using water that's too hot. Because if your water is really hot, it really just kind of scorches the coffee or the tea. You know, you shouldn't use fully boiling water for either one. They should be like 180, 190, not 212, which is boiling. or 100 if you live in the logical centigrade world. So if you don't know me, you don't know that I am a notoriously terrible coffee maker. I am a professional chef. I've been cooking for 18 years. I cannot make coffee. I suck at coffee making. Every method I've tried, it's like a big joke in my family. Cannot make coffee. So when I discovered this cold brew method, it was like I had finally found coffee nirvana. Because you don't have to do anything. You just measure it out and leave it out. And so I've actually posted a link to the New York Times recipe on the Why We Cook Facebook page, so you can find it. I'll give it to you a little bit later on toward the end. But what you could do is cold brew this iced coffee and then freeze it in ice cube trays and then make another batch and then chill down that batch with the cold brewed iced coffee ice cubes. And that would be crazy. You'd have doubly delicious iced coffee chilling out experience. Or go even crazier and do the granita or the slushy with the sweetened iced coffee. So about 10 years ago, I went to Sicily, and it was pretty hot there. And it gets really, really hot. I was there in March. I can't even imagine what it's like in the summer. It gets really, really hot. But those brilliant Sicilians have come up with this amazing breakfast concept. I don't know if it's something I could eat every day, but I love the idea of it. So in Sicily, when it gets really, really, really hot in the summer, they turn their espresso into granita. They freeze it, make a slush out of it, basically. And then they take a big scoop of that granita, that espresso granita slush, and they put it on a brioche bun. And then they top it with a little whipped cream. So it's like a coffee slush brioche whipped cream sandwich. And they eat that for breakfast. And I'm thinking maybe they have that with a couple of very, very strong European cigarettes. And that's like the breakfast of champions. For them, at least. I don't smoke, so I'd have to know about that. And I actually have to be really, really careful about my caffeine intake. So the big secret with me is that most of my iced coffee is actually decaf iced coffee. But if you're in Sicily in the summer, make sure you try the espresso granita sandwich because it's pretty amazing. So to make that cold brewed coffee from the New York Times, they say to use 1/3 of a cup of medium coarse ground coffee. You don't want it too fine. You want medium coarse grind. And you put it in a jar with 1.5 cups of water. So it's 1/3 of a cup of coffee to 1.5 cups of water. Mix it up, put it in a jar, cover it, and just let it rest at room temperature overnight, about 12 hours. And then strain it twice through a coffee filter or a fine mesh sieve. You want to strain twice. Then pour it over ice, add some sugar, add some milk, thin it out with water. You have yourself beautiful iced coffee to get you through the worst of the humidity-soaked New York summers and elsewhere, too. So we're just about out of time. And I just want to give a little quick mention that the weekend of July 17th, I will be in Ohio at the Chef's Garden in Milan, Ohio, for their 8th annual Food and Wine Celebration Festival. It's a benefit for Veggie U, which is an educational program to put earth-to-table gardening programs in every fifth-grade classroom in America. It's a fundraiser for that. So I'll talk some more about it next week. But if you live in Ohio or if you're going to be somewhere in the Midwest July 17th, you should go. For more information, go to veggieu.org. That's VEGGIEU.org. And I'll be there. You can come say hi. So we'll see you next week. Thanks to Nat and Jack in the control tower. And thanks for listening.